আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহ আলহামদুলিল্লাহ ওয়া কাফা ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিনিল মুস্তাফা সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া বারাকা ওয়া সাল্লামা তাসলিমা কাসীরা কাসীরা। أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين صدق الله العظيم.
علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also those who may be listening over the receivers, our sisters, I've been discussing the first part or the first verses of Surah Mu'minun. We have discussed at some length that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He wants to give success, but this success He has made it conditional, that the person must have a certain attributes in his life, certain sifats in his life. He must purify his soul from certain evils. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in different verses of the Quran Sharif has mentioned different sifats of the muttaqeen, of the mu'mineen, etc. But here in this surah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives us certain attributes of the mu'mineen. Who are they? What do they do? What are their actions? What kinds of deeds do they engage in? So without giving you a proper translation, it's just I'm giving you the meaning of it, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that they are those people who قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. In their salat they've got humility, complete submission before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You can see that this person is standing before Allah Ta'ala. He is not standing on a football ground. This person is not in the bazaar. This person is not in the marketplace. This person is not in some other area of fun and entertainment and pleasure. This person, when you look at him reading his salat also, you can see that there's khushu in there. There is humility in there. It seems as if he is under the weight of someone. There's some weight over him. There's some pressure. There's complete humility. And I've explained to you in some detail what khushu is. But we want to go on to the fourth point here. And then also we discussed that those actions, those deeds which are vain, useless, futile, they don't help the person anyway in this world, in the akhirat, in the qabr. It doesn't help him either physically, spiritually, mentally, economically, nothing. Absolutely futile and useless. So if the person is a believer, then he shuns those kind of deeds and actions and talk. He doesn't engage in it. He passes away from there. He doesn't go and spend hours and hours and hours wasting away his life. For he knows that life is a very precious commodity. We don't have the luxury of time to be wasted. We don't have that luxury. There's so much to do in the little life that we have. Now imagine if we have to get caught up in all the different entertainments that are laid out. Those people who've got no concern of akhirat, those for whom this world is a jannat, then they must enjoy themselves, because where else are they going to get jannat? So let them have their jannat here. For the disbelievers, this dunya is jannat. But this morning also I explained that what does jannat mean? Jannat should be a place where there should be no pain, no problem, no difficulty, no hardship, no restlessness, no uneasiness, no contemplation of suicide. Then that is jannat. Now what kind of jannat have they got in this world also? that they are not happy. You can see the largest number of cases of suicide you will get in America, or in those societies where there's plenty of affluence. So although they have been given this as a jannat, but there's no peace and relaxation even here. But for the believers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give them jannat in both worlds. Even this world, with all the pain and difficulties and problems, it can be a jannat for the believer. Mana ke meer gulshan-e jannat to dur hai, arif hai magar dil mein khaliq-e jannat liye huye. You have heard this many times. Mana ke meer gulshan-e jannat to dur hai, O meer, I know that the gardens of jannat are far away. But the arif of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has got the creator of those jannats in his heart. Then where will this person go and look for gardens? Of course, that doesn't mean that you mustn't go to these gardens or you mustn't have gardens in your homes. It doesn't mean that. This is poetic language. The thing is that this person has got contentment. That is what it means. He's got satisfaction. He doesn't lead a restless life, a life full of anxieties, worries and restlessness. That doesn't come near him. Yes, he has worries also. He has pains also. He has problems also. But because of this connection with his Allah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him sukoon in his heart. And the test of that is that if you sit in the company of such a person, if you also get sukoon, then it means that person has got sukoon in his heart. And in sitting in the company of a person, if you get restlessness, then it shows that that person hasn't got sukoon in his heart. So now go and spend 10 days in the company of the prince of some country, and go and spend 10 days in the company of some wali of Allah ta'ala, and then see who has got sukoon in their hearts. So mana ke meer gulshan-e jannat to dur hai, arif hai magar khaliq-e jannat liye huye. So in these days of holidays, and especially the month of July, when we know that there's Gunston and there's July handicap and there's circus and there's cinemas and theatres and prostitute quarters and everything is buzzing and everyone is inviting, come towards me, come towards me, come towards me. Now what does the person do? He is a young person, he's also got some desires in his heart, and there is an attraction from these areas. So now what must he do? Must he just go for viewing and seeing and casual visit? If he's going to do that, then he will be tempted into sin. So such areas should be avoided, because it is going to create restlessness in the person's life. It's going to bring plenty of anxieties and worries. The person will then reach a stage where he begins to contemplate suicide. And some even take their lives. And so many of them who got hooked on porn movies and filthy magazines, they have landed in hospitals, and some are even have turned schizophrenic, and some have even committed suicide. That is the end result of it. And Allah Ta'ala wants to give us peace. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us happiness, satisfaction in our hearts. So therefore, if the person is a mu'min, then he shuns these type of places. Yes, find some halal entertainment, halal pleasures. There's so much Allah Ta'ala has kept. We are not recommending or saying that you must sit in the masjid all your life and read tasbih in the masjid. Or that the youth also, they must leave all the areas, they must just sit down in the masjid and make tasbih, zikr, tilawat. No, that is like a training that is being given for a few days, for a few months, depending on the condition of the person. That you say, first train yourself, discipline yourself. Because this, as I explained this morning also, that jannat, for the Muslim, this world is a prison. So prison doesn't mean that he has to starve to death, or he must read tasbih all the time. What it means that just as in prison, everything is disciplined. The person has to get up at a certain time. He has to wear certain kind of clothes. He has to eat at a certain time. He has to sleep at a certain time. The lights will go off at a certain time. Everything is disciplined. He cannot lead a life of his own will and passion and desire. In the same way, this Muslim in this world, all that is required, that is, he must lead a disciplined life. He will get up at a certain time. He will not get up after the sun has risen. He will get up before the sun has risen. He will make his Fajr Salat. This Muslim will only eat those things which Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have declared as halal. He will only earn that as livelihood which Allah and his Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have declared as halal and permissible. And no matter how delicious and tasty and how tempting that which is haram may be, but he will shun it. He will distance himself from it. He will lead a very disciplined life. Again, that example comes to mind which I gave at the park, where there was a board there which stated that no dogs allowed except on leash. Now these examples, you must listen to it repeatedly. If it comes in my mind 100 times, I will repeat it 100 times. No dogs allowed except on leash. So what was the lesson that was given from there? Our mind only goes to it that they must not come with a dog unless it's got a leash. But did we think further than that? That why should you not come with a dog except on leash? Because the message and the nature of that dog is that it wants to cause some damage. If some people are having their sandwiches and picnicking there, then the dog will go there and grab some bone or meat or bread from there. The dog will urinate here, it will pass feces there, it will damage the flowers. The message of the dog, it is uncontrolled. So if you're going to come without the leash, then it's going to cause so much of havoc in the park and in the gardens. So therefore they say you must put that leash and then bring it, no problem, take it across. In the same way, we, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has sent us into this world, and He doesn't want to deprive us of the good things of this world. Take that out of our minds, that Allah ta'ala wants us to lead a life of boredom and restlessness. Allah ta'ala doesn't want us to enjoy any ni'mats in this world. If that had been the case, then as I have said in some other majlis, then the only thing that Allah ta'ala would have made halal for the Muslim is that just have some bread and water, that's all. Sufficient for your survival. Just have some bread and water. And all the other things Allah ta'ala would have declared it haram. But if we have to look at it across the board, how many things Allah ta'ala made halal for the ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we have to look at meat and flesh of animals, then so many different animals Allah ta'ala has made halal. Goat, cattle, sheep, camel, so many things Allah ta'ala has made halal. Because my bandas will get tired. If I tell them, no, you only eat this, they'll get tired. Give them a variety. If you look at the vegetable kingdom, everything Allah ta'ala has made halal there. If you look at the fish of the sea, so much Allah ta'ala has made halal. Variety of fish, different kinds of fish. He could have just put one kind of fish there, or say that all the fishermen must search for that one particular kind of fish, only that is halal. Then how much of difficulty our fishermen would have had? So much of their bait would have gone wasted. And then they would have been tempted also when they pulled out a big one, but it was not of the halal kind. So Allah ta'ala made so much of kinds of fish halal. So many things of Allah ta'ala made halal. So much of ni'mats. So why should a person go towards haram? So this July holidays, it is not a place to be at the beachfront watching the Gunston and July handicap and all these casinos and cinemas and theatres, because it's going to create restlessness in the person's life. And that is what brings us to that other ayat now. I'm trying to get to that ayat, but we just can't seem to get there. Where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now, after the ayat of zakat, which also includes tazkiyah, now we're talking about that those people who are believers and those who have got falah, and they will get eventual falah in the akhirat, where there will be no pain, no problem, no hardship, no difficulty, no jealousy, no malice, no greed, nothing. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. So those people, what are their sifats? Then one of it Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Without going into detailed explanation, the gist of it is this, that they are those people who restrain themselves from sexual contact except with their partners in marriage. Now all these areas of sin that we are talking about, what are they inviting us towards? They are inviting us towards zina. It is the first step towards zina. Because the majority of those that go and watch these things, the majority of those people who go and look at all those women there who are semi-naked or naked, the majority of those people who go and watch the trapeze actresses in their semi-naked garments, or those who go to the bazaars and those areas for no other purpose but just to go and view that which is haram, then the first thing it does is creates temptation in the heart. It increases the passions of a person. What can we do now? We have to talk openly on these issues. That it increases the passion of a person. Now this person, either he will get that woman or he's not going to get the woman. Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that either the person will get that woman or he will not get that woman. After looking, what is he going to get? So he's going to get, first of all, restlessness. His passions will increase. There will be temptation towards sin. Then either he will get that woman or he's not going to get that woman. Or the other way around, the woman is going to get the man or she's not going to get that man. So if you are not going to get that person, then what have you really gained? He says it is stupidity, it is foolishness, it is madness that this person is going, he is casting lustful glances and he's not going to even get that woman. So if he's not going to get, then it is stupidity, it is foolishness. The person is just increasing or is causing his blood pressure to rise and it causes so many other problems. And if he is going to get that woman, then if he is a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that khawf of akhirat, that khawf of jahannam, that khawf and fear that this person may lose his life in the process, if he is going to indulge in zina, then that will take away all his happiness and joy. If a person is a believer in Allah ta'ala, and especially those of us who have got some kind of identity also of Muslims, we've got our beard and our kurtas and our topis and our white libas, then if this person has to engage in such a kind of sin, then that fear that if my death comes in this state, then what will happen? That fear itself has taken away a three-quarter of his joy and happiness. And that little joy and happiness that may be left, it is also arzi. Yamana ke maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. What kind of rebellion is this against the Creator? He who gave that strength in the body, he who gave that sight, he who gave that health, he who gave that wealth, we use all those things for his disobedience. Us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. A little while of pleasure, hamesha ki nadamat hai. Regret for all one's life many a times. If an alim is caught in some kind of sexual abuse, what kind of nadamat is that? All his life after that there's nadamat and shame. He cannot stand up anywhere and talk anything. He cannot give any waz, any bayan. Look at all these priests who have been accused of sexual abuse. Now what kind of a life is that? So, zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza aabru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. Allah Ta'ala gives a person respect that he's a Muslim, he's a believer in Allah, he's a believer in Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala gives him respect in society, Allah Ta'ala gives him honor, a life of dignity, and just for a little while of pleasure, and if he is caught and trapped, and he's gone. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says it is Allah Ta'ala's habit that generally for the first time the person commits a sin, Allah Ta'ala conceals it. The second time he commits the sin, Allah Ta'ala conceals it. But when the person makes it a habit, then sooner or later it will become exposed. Sooner or later it must become exposed. This person will be trapped in that sin. He will be trapped in that sin. So if we are in the habit of some sins, then we must give it up immediately. As Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created avenues, therefore I repeatedly say that cut down your cost of living, reduce the cost of marriages and nikahs, and get the youth married. We can spend thousands of rands for their education at universities and colleges, but that young person who is 24, 25, sometimes they go on to 25 and 26 and even more. But the parents say, let him complete his studies, let him complete his studies. The girl is already 20, 25, 30. And the parents say, we won't allow you to marry now, first let her complete her studies. Now the boy is proposed to this girl, 3 years have gone by, and they're still waiting for her to complete her studies. And this girl writes from a university in Johannesburg. She wrote last year to me. She says, Maulana, I've already had 2 abortions. And yet my parents say that I can't be married until I complete my studies. Na'udhu billahi min zalik. What are we heading for? So if we've got some sense of shame and haya in us, and we've got some iman and yaqeen, then what else is the solution? Get them married. Don't delay their marriages. Suitable match is found, get them married. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this is one of the sifats, that they do not engage in any kind of sexual contact except with their partners in marriage. And I explained in one of my majlises or in the Jummah Bayan that in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there were many, many marriage wives that a person had. Islam came and limited it to four. But they never suffered AIDS. There was no AIDS in that time. Why? Because they were having relationship with their own marriage partners. After nikah, they were having relationship with their own marriage partners, so Allah Ta'ala also gave barakat in those marriages. And Allah Ta'ala protected them from any kind of diseases which are transmitted in that way. So this is the problem of the ummah at large today, that we are looking at the what comes in our newspapers and magazines and from over the radio and television and news broadcasts, that as long as you have safe sex, it is okay. It's a condom culture that they talk about. 36,000 girls under the age of 18 gave birth to illegitimate children in Britain alone last year. Now where can they be even satisfied, or where can they have that satisfaction that this woman that I am marrying, she is not one of those loose women who has already given birth to half a dozen illegitimate children or has abortions. So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says this is one of the sifat. And this is the biggest problem of man today. If somebody says, what is the problem of man today? We say there's plenty of problems, but the biggest problem of man is woman. And what's the problem of woman today? There's a lot of problems, but the biggest problem is man. That is the biggest problem. Because at that time the aqal of the person also disappears. When a person is going to visit a prostitute, and especially if he's a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, then just imagine at that time, if his aqal was not gone, then what else was there? And I'm not talking about one particular hafiz, I'm talking about so many, that if the huffaz of the Quran Sharif also cannot stay away from raves and from clubs and from cinemas and from theatres and from porn, one non-Muslim woman who accepted Islam and she married a Muslim person, and she says, why did I marry him? Because I heard that he was a hafiz of the Quran Sharif. And she says that after that what happened is that he brought porn films and he wants me to see with him. So all I said is that, is this what your Islam was teaching you? Why did you deceive me? I married you because I thought that I will become a good Muslim. You told me so much about Islam. You were talking about Islam. Islam is like this and like that. And you enticed me into accepting Islam and marrying you. And now this is what you are wanting me to do, the life that I'm coming out from you, sending me back to the same thing. So he says he got angry and he gave me divorce. Now what kind of Islam are we projecting in our lives? So there's too much of talk. Talk has filled the atmosphere. There's so much of speeches that as I mentioned, that we can also list it on the stock exchange, speeches unlimited. That much speeches we have heard. When will the time for Amal come? Whether the time for Amal has come or not, but the time has expired for the talk. So therefore I terminate and I make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us his muhabbat and his khawf to such an extent that it becomes easy for us to restrain ourselves from those places where it is forbidden for us to be, and we do those things which Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are pleased with. That is the haqiqat of haya. فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَا أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْسُ نَعَاكَ. The haqiqat of haya is that your Mawla, your Allah, your Rabbah must not see you in those places where he is displeased in seeing you there. So avoid those areas for your own good and for your own peace of mind, for your own happiness. There are lots of jamaats that are around from the Arab countries, from Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif. Join them, join other deeni programs, spend the time with the family, take them to places where there's no atmosphere of sin and evil, and pass the holidays. Read some Quran Sharif, make tilawat, make some Amar bil Maruf Nahi Anil Munkar, read some good literature. There's so much of things to do. Do khidmat of the poor, the needy, go to the hospitals, visit the sick. There's so much that you can do to put happiness into somebody's life. So do something like that and keep yourself occupied. We have some students who have come here from Darul Uloom and they are spending some time here until Monday. So we've got some program going for them too. If you have the time and you wish to participate, then you are most welcome and get the feeling of sukoon and peace. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. And also just one thing came to mind that I forgot to complete that example which I was giving of that park. That just as a dog must come on leash, so like that, put the leash of Sharia around your neck. Put the leash of Sharia around your heart. Then you can go to the bazaars, marketplaces, you can go to the airports, you can go everywhere. But if you don't have that leash of Sharia, then the mizaj of the dog, just as it is to cause damage, the mizaj of the nafs is to go towards haram. May Allah Ta'ala protect us and prevent us.